I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I think the Trump administration is very, very hesitant to put boots on the ground. I really hope they are not considering this. The only type of boots on the ground I would support is, let's say they needed to occupy some islands off the coast or a small portion to conduct some operations, search and rescue or position. I would not recommend this administration put boots on the ground. For a actual, an operation to overthrow the regime or anything like that, because frankly, look at our history, look at Iraq, look at Afghanistan, look at how these war, hundreds of thousands of troops at times in both countries, governments that were supportive of our effort, and we still lost these wars. I mean, Afghanistan, 20 years to turn it back over to the Taliban.
The rumors have been persisting. And now they've been given some credence. Axios reporters are supposedly saying they have sources saying that we are preparing to put boots on the ground. Now, stop it right there. First of all, I'll make it very clear to you. I'm against U.S. boots on the ground in Iran. But there are some outlying areas that would be considered Iranian property that we might well need to take control of to go after some missions. The other critical mission is, and Trump has already hinted to this, weighing options about deploying any special operations that would possibly be ready to go in, secure, and destroy highly enriched uranium stockpiles to make sure Tehran does not have a nuclear bomb. That probably would be done in connection and coordination with the Israeli Defense Forces. It might well be their forces on the ground using our intel. The situation is beginning to escalate, and it's getting more dire for Iran because they're losing so much. And of course, you're going to see the prices of gasoline go up. Oil at $100 a barrel currently in the Middle East. So yes, there's going to be some repercussions. But what is a greater good? To destroy Iran and its nuclear capability while you suffer a few more cents per gallon? The left are out there crying that this is going to hurt the affordability crisis. The same left that ignored their own members scamming and robbing the American people, the American treasury, with scams and schemes, creating false and fictitious at every level scams to rip off the American public. Well, we got a lot to break down. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA, March 9, 2026. And yes, with Larry Connors USA, we're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. I strongly encourage you to do it. We get pretty involved here. It's not just watching paint dry. How do you do it? You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook. And everything goes up later as a podcast in case you miss any part, audio or video. And I can tell by the numbers, more and more of you are pulling out the podcast later so you can watch or listen in the entirety at your pleasure. We appreciate that. I do ask one thing. Push share. Send it on to others. Get them involved in the program and what we're doing. Now, I remind you, with Larry Connors USA, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more knowledge than you have right this moment. In our next hour, I want to flash back to 2015, when then-Senator Rubio of Florida warned exactly what was going to happen in Iran. He warned it. He sounded the bell. He was the canary in the coal mine. I want you to hear him from that date in 2015. And over the weekend, of course, they had a vast eulogy for Jesse Jackson, Reverend Jesse Jackson. His son, Jesse Jackson Jr., said, I listened to three presidents speak at my father's eulogy. Obama, Clinton, Biden, and said not one of them knew him. And they turned what was supposed to be a eulogy into a political game. He is pissed beyond measure, and I don't blame him. You'll hear why coming up later. And later in this hour, Democrats want you to forget how they have helped Iran get to this dangerous precipice. They actually helped them with money when they really didn't have it. They helped them by lifting sanctions, which would have shut them down. Democrats, especially the far left, want you to forget this. We do not forget. And we're going to remind you of that in detail later this hour. And our story behind the story of the Hell's Angels, started by U.S. servicemen coming back from the war. That's our story behind the story, coming up later. So based on the reporting out of Axios that Trump might be considering weighing options that would include special operation forces into Iran to destroy or at least secure highly enriched uranium stockpiles and maybe some additional hits on particular islands around Iran. Jake Tapper, CNN, questioning Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat.
This morning on Axios, two very well-sourced reporters in the administration, Barack Ravid and Mark Caputo for Axios, are reporting that the U.S. is weighing, they have not made a decision, but weighing, sending in special forces to specifically seize Iran's enriched uranium. You heard Senator Tillis say that might necessitate congressional authorization for use of force. What's your reaction?
I mean, this is already a war that is becoming an ongoing disaster. It gets worse if the president is talking about putting ground forces in. You're talking at that point about dozens, if not hundreds, of new American casualties. I think this administration just fails to understand how to achieve any of their objectives. So their objectives shift by the minute. Sometimes we're pursuing regime change, sometimes we're not. They have been consistent about trying to eliminate Iran's nuclear program, but what they fail to understand is that you can't bomb knowledge out of existence. Even if you were to do something wildly dangerous, like putting American ground forces in to try to extract some of their enriched uranium, there's still going to be the knowledge inside Iran so that if you don't actually succeed in putting a new leader inside that country, they'll just be able to rebuild that capacity as soon as American forces are gone.
How stupid is that? If you destroy their capability, you can have all the knowledge you want, but if you don't have the materials, the abilities, the money, you're not going to be able to rebuild. Now, again, I stress to you, I'm not in favor of U.S. boots inside the country of Iran. But if special operations are to be carried out, quick in and out, I'm willing to let the president and those who have better intel make that decision. We do have another casualty to report, another member of our forces who was killed in one of the earlier strikes. We're just now being released, name not being made public, waiting to notify his next of kin. But here you have Murphy saying, this administration doesn't really know what it's doing. It knows damn well what it wants to do. But it's got to deal with a Congress that just wants to fight against Trump because they hate Trump more than they love our country. And, of course, leading the pack, Hakeem Jeffries, who once again believes, I know everything and no one else knows anything.
I think the big question is, why did we get into this war? What are our strategic objectives? Because they shift every day? And what is the plan to get out of this conflict? The American people don't want to see billions of dollars being spent to bomb Iran and the Middle East, while at the same period of time, my Republican colleagues and this president are unwilling to spend a dime to lower their grocery bills, spend a dime to actually make it more affordable to go see a doctor or do anything about this affordability crisis that is very real in the United States of America.
The affordability crisis is brought on primarily by the Democrats and their lackeys who've been stealing. Case point, Minnesota. $9 billion stolen that was supposed to go to American citizens to help them with their affordability, their health needs, grocery needs, and Somalian refugees for the most part, and Somalian Americans taking part in a scam that was looting our treasury. There's $9 billion right there. And that's just in one state. And Hakeem Jeffries has the gall to stand there and say, they have no real strategic objective in Iran. They don't know what they're doing. Secretary of War Hegseth says the mission is simple.
They've used a conventional umbrella of missiles that was growing every single day, their production capacity, to try to cover over their nuclear blackmail ambitions. As far as how you get at that nuclear option, we'll make sure that their nuclear ambitions are never achieved.
Will we take it out ourselves?
Well, I would never tell you or anybody else what our options are. See, that's another thing. People keep asking.
It's a legitimate question.
It's a very fair question. People ask boots on the ground, no boots on the ground, 4 weeks, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, go in. President Trump knows, I know, you don't tell the enemy, you don't tell the press, you don't tell anybody what your limits would be on an operation. We're willing to go as far as we need to in order to be successful.
And that means no nukes for Iran. It is that simple. If plans change day to day, that's because things are fluid. And you want to keep the Iranians guessing. And over the weekend, we hit some of their big oil refineries just outside Tehran, and it looked like a massive strike. But I want to take you back and remind you, Obama made it possible for Iran to grow stronger and eventually kill more Americans. Do you remember those pallets of money flown overnight to Iran? Obama tried to explain, I have no choice.
The United States and Iran are now settling a long-standing Iranian government claim against the United States government. Iran will be returned its own funds, including appropriate interest, but much less than the amount Iran sought. For the United States, the settlement could save us billions of dollars that could have been pursued by Iran, so there was no benefit to the United States in dragging this out.
This was 2016. We transferred $1.7 billion in cash to Iran. That was because of they had taken our embassy, remember, in 79? And we took a lot of their assets here in the U.S. and held them. And they were going to the, quote, world court. And supposedly we would have lost in the world court and had to pay it anyway. So Obama said, well, let's just go ahead and give it to them. They wanted it shipped overnight, $1.7 billion, small denominations, various currencies that could be spread throughout the Middle East. Then and again was funding the terrorist proxy wars. And again, with that kind of money, Iran could continue to work for enriching uranium and not to make life better for their people by having nuclear power plants, but to build nuclear weapons. And it escalated their action and production of ballistic missiles. Trey Yanks has been watching over this, obviously, for Fox News, and he said the one thing Iran has done now is they got a new leader.
Iran's assembly of experts has chosen a new supreme leader, Mostaba Khamenei, the son of Iran's former supreme leader who was killed in the opening strikes of Operation Epic Fury. Mostaba Khamenei is a hardliner who has a history of ties to the IRGC and besieged forces. He was the gatekeeper for his father and widely known as the Shadow Prince. A number of civilians and residents in Tehran reacting to the news overnight saying this.
After an entire week of waiting, and of course the shock of the passing of Ayatollah Khamenei inflicted on the society, we are very glad that now the leader has been selected. Now we are sure that the path will continue with his leadership.
The Israelis continuing their strikes against the Iranian regime, targeting a number of positions in and around Tehran, besiege headquarters and other missile launching positions used to threaten their country. And over the weekend, we saw those apocalyptic images of smoke and flames rising from the skyline in Tehran. Four different oil facilities hit this weekend in Israeli strikes across the Iranian capital.
And it will continue. And that's a combination of U.S., Israeli and other allied forces. This new leader, there's a report that since the word has come out that he has been named to follow his father, no one has seen much of the guy when his father was alive. They haven't seen much of him since. I don't know of any current pictures, but the word is he's already been injured in some event, in one of the bombings, explosions. We don't know to what extent. The pictures you are being shown are, he seems to be in perfect health. I think those are fabricated, AI-generated, or old footage. Khomeini's father, the son's father, and his wife were killed in the 28th Israeli airstrike in Tehran. He's yet to be seen since all of this began. And 50 Israeli jets dropped 100 bombs, obliterating Khomeini's secret bunker used by his regime's top brass over the weekend. And if he thought he was safe there, that probably did not work out that well at all. I've got a guest coming up. I'm not going to tell you this is going to be a contentious interview. He does not want U.S. troops on the ground in Iran. He was against some of the prior actions taken by the U.S. in the Middle East anyway. But I want you to hear his opinion and see if you agree in some parts or maybe not. And our story behind the story of the Hell's Angels, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. The best thing I ever did for my neck and back pain was go to Esquire Sports Medicine. Dr. Draghi and his staff can take care of those pains. If they can't, they'll refer you to a specialist. And when you're hurting, you don't want to wait. So often with Dr. Draghi and Esquire Sports Medicine, you're treated within 24 hours. For any joint or muscle pain, contact my doctor, Dr. Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine, on Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and efficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping on the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping on the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. As we were discussing earlier, there are reports coming out of Axios and other sources that maybe we might have, quote, boots on the ground to some extent in Iran, limited where, outside on some of the islands or what. And I will repeat again, I'm against any boots on the ground in Iran. But I don't have all the details that obviously Hegseth and our Secretary of War Department has. But one man who wants to weigh in on this is Charles Goyette, New York Times bestselling author, best known for his book Empire of Lies, Fragments from the Memory Hole. Charles, welcome aboard.
Hey, Larry, it's great to talk to you again.
So I know you're a longtime critic of these elective wars, and you were early and outspoken to the Iraq War. What do you think? Is this mission creep about boots on the ground in Iran? Or is it just talk to keep Iran off guard?
Well, you know, it could be both. But there's an old saying that the first victim of war is the truth. That is certainly true. But an early victim of war is always the plan. You know, you've got to. It reminds me of the Mike Tyson line, who says everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the nose.
Right.
You know, everybody's got a plan until things go differently than the. So it is possible. It is possible there will be American boots on the ground. My experience is when they tell you they're going to be limited to this, or they're going to be advisors, or they're going to be only in this place, that is not so. In the meantime, as you know, we at least were for a period urging the Kurds to take a role in part of Iran. That certainly is going to infuriate Erdogan and Turkey. And so there are all kinds of interlinked relationships here that I'm not sure these people have ever been able to understand.
Well, it's a very complicated part of the world. And I mean, one day they're your friend, one day they're your enemy, and then back as your friend.
Right.
So we understand the delicacy there. But Iran itself has some islands off the shelf of Iran that have been used for fuel ports and things of that nature. If that's what they're talking about, I basically, on what limited knowledge I have, I could accept that. I just don't want us putting troops inside the mainland area of Iran.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And I accept, well, I guess, man, I'm with you 95%, because I don't want them putting American troops on the islands either. You know, those things always tend to metastasize in some unforeseen way. And it's just a very bad idea, in my view.
All right.
So I'd say, I remember when Ron Paul said, well, at one of the presidential debates, somebody said, well, we're in this thing in Iraq now. What should we do? And years before the bloodshed was complete, he said, we just marched in. We can just march out. And everybody booed him, but we'd have been a lot better off, a lot richer. There would be a lot more Americans alive had we done that when he said that.
So Trump is supposedly weighing options, special operations forces into Iran, and it's not clear where, obviously, to secure or destroy some of the highly enriched uranium stockpiles. Of course, we gotta verify where they are, can we get to them, and at what cost, and how much of the IDF would be involved in that as to putting their boots on the ground and our intel.
Yeah, well, it's their war. It's their war, and I'm not making that up. I'm quoting administration officials who said, well, Iran, you know, the New York Times, Financial Times, all say, well, this is a war for Israel. So, you know, let them put their boots on the ground and do what they will.
But do you disagree? Charles, let me stop you 1 second.
Sure.
You say it's a war for Israel, but do you not consider it a war for the world? If Iran got a nuclear weapon? If Iran gets a nuclear weapon?
But, well, look, we had closed-door briefings just a week ago in Washington in which officials acknowledged that there is no intelligence indicating Iran was planning a preemptive or first strike, and the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, said this month that there's no structured program to manufacture nuclear weapons, and Iran is not days or not weeks away from building a bomb.
But
this is all spun out of control. It's all inflated. It's all puffed up to get people behind an elective war.
If you want to go back to the IAEA, the agreement Obama signed and got other nations, France and so forth, to sign on to, it was never a full treaty. The IAEA was supposed to have full and open permission to show up unexpectedly in Iran, inspect any site they wanted, and they never were allowed to do that. So they don't really don't know what they're talking about.
Well, they've been pretty good over the years. They were certainly better. They were certainly better in Iraq than the American inspectors were.
Well, you're talking about weapons of mass destruction, and you and I are going to have a disagreement.
Sure.
Weapons of mass destruction. Do you not consider poisonous gas a weapon of mass destruction?
Well, the only poison gases that they found were remnants of poison gases that we gave them during their, listen to this, we gave to Iraq during their war with Iran, killed several hundreds of thousands of Iranians,
right?
A war supported and implemented by us, and then Americans wonder why they don't like us. It's not that hard to understand.
Saddam Hussein used them against his own people in Iraq, you know that, and that's where we were talking about weapons of mass destruction.
I think it's always a potential for any authoritarian government to do anything with its own people to advance its hold on power. It's not a surprise to anybody.
Unfortunately, of course, we've already had some pilots shot down. In fact, I saw a video the other day of a U.S. pilot, I don't know, Navy or Air Force, but one of our female pilots. I mean, we've got great female fighter pilots as well. They're not in the skies over Iran. Simply because of a DEI program. But we did have a 7th U.S. service member verified as being killed during the initial attacks. So that makes 7 Americans so far. I don't want the number to grow, but I don't want to not contain Iran.
Yeah. Well, what does containing Iran mean in your definition? Does it mean turning it over to the Kurds and to Israel?
I don't know.
Does it mean an American governorship that rules the country?
I'm not in for that. I am for no nuclear weapons and capabilities. And even if they want to fight among themselves again, as long as they don't have that capability, they'll be just like they've been all these eons anyway. And the support we've been given them with the Obama ship, $1.7 billion over to Iran when he was president, and they were using it for fun terrorist activities.
Well, we freeze money from governments all over the world, and it kind of makes them unhappy. we freeze it in pursuance of our foreign policy. You get on board with us. This is, by the way, this is what's killing American prosperity over the long term. The American dollar is no longer a neutral and honored store of value. It's become a political weapon. It's weaponized by the State Department, and they freeze assets of people all over the world. They've been doing this for some years now. That's why the world is stampeding away from the U.S. dollar, and central banks are building gold reserves. They are cutting our own throat. They're undermining our own prosperity. Our own government is.
That will be a discussion for another day. I do want to take a moment to let you talk about your book, Empire of Lies, Fragments from the Memory Hole.
Yeah. You know, Larry, thank you very much. And this isn't our first regime change operation, and these things have been a disaster one after the other. I mean, you can go from Iraq to Syria to Libya to the mess that's in Ukraine now. And this one, we don't do them very well. We don't declare war as we should. We don't clarify the costs. A declaration of war would require Congress to clarify the costs, the objective, what it means, what's the end game, how do we know when we've won. We have none of that. Because and then the people that support or push the war, our elected representatives are held accountable in some sense, at least at the next election, for their decisions. They make wise decisions. They may get reelected. They make foolish decisions, and they get run out of town. And I think that's the way it should be if we're going to be a self-governing people.
What do you do about the hypocrisy of the left saying this war is unjust, and yet ignoring what Obama did, killing hundreds during his various raids?
Yeah, well, I don't do whataboutism because I criticize them both. I mean, I think they're all cut from the same cloth. They all do things that, you know, are in the interest of the greater. What they do is things that are in the interest of the deep state. And you and I, Larry, aren't in it.
No, we're not, and I don't want to be in it except if I can punch a hole in the deep state and drain the swamp. But very quickly, your view on the Khomeini's son being pointed to the new Iran supreme leader. There have been mass demonstrations in Tehran over the weekend because of that.
Yeah. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Here we go again.
Yep.
You know, you topple one leader and the next one pops up to take his place. Everybody does this. I mean, how many times have we heard, we got to get rid of the Hitler? You know, this guy's the Hitler of this country. This guy's the Hitler of that country. And we keep getting rid of them, and they keep being replaced by the next Hitler. I mean, it's totally predictable. We had, a succession of Hitlers after Saddam Hussein. We had Bonnie Sauter right. And all kinds of other names you could dredge up from the past. And they were dubbed the new Hitler. So it's I think to disengage from all of these things is in our interest, and allow us to turn our attention on making America great, using our resources to rebuild our country that is falling behind in many ways.
Charles Goyette, New York Times bestselling author of the book Empire Lies. Charles, I'd like to have you back again in the future, sir.
Larry, I always enjoy talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Coming up, the story behind the story, the Hell's Angels.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and efficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right right now during our March savings event. Take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story. 1957. Oakland, California. A new and menacing sight appears on the streets of this hard-working port city. It's the outlaw motorcycle gang called the Hell's Angels.
A lot of these biker gangs are made up of these ex-servicemen who've just come back home. They find that it's difficult to readjust to civilian life.
The Hell's Angels founded their first chapter in San Bernardino in 1948. By 1958, the gang has added chapters in San Francisco and Oakland. Early Hell's Angels members embrace a freewheeling lifestyle of partying and violence.
That was the beginning, based on a History Channel, of the Hell's Angels. There have been numerous stories as to how they started and who really deserves credit or blame. It's a thin line, as you could imagine. But basically, everyone agrees they were founded in California. Timing is part of the issue. You heard that report start with 1957, but did refer back to 1948. And that seems to be where most do agree was the true beginning of the Hell's Angels. And the backdrop. March 17, 1948, Fontana, California. Several motorcycle clubs agreed to merge. And a guy by the name of Otto Friedley, I believe, a World War II veteran, is credited with starting the club after breaking off from the POB Motorcycle Club, the Pissed Off Bastards Motorcycle Club. And they did that over a feud with a rival gang. And then, according to another theory, the Hell's Angels were formulated in 1951 in San Bernardino by Dick White, a member of the Redlands Roadrunners. I give you these different stories because if by chance you come face to face with the Hell's Angels and you start telling him what the history is, he may or may not agree with you. I'm telling you that right now. I have known some over the years. I knew several down in Houston. I remember in particular one of their members had been killed. I cannot recall that it was a drug fight, but either way, it was a fight, and he was killed. And they were going to have a funeral procession of all the Houston area Hell's Angels coming together, escorting the hearse to the cemetery. They were gathering at a three-story apartment complex. So that's where I went with my photographer to begin to document them as they formulated their group. I saw motorcycles on more than one occasion coming out of some of the apartments. They were keeping them inside the apartment. I'm sure that building was not worth a lot of money when it came to them leaving. Motorcycles in general tend to drip oil. Harley Davidsons do as well. And most of the Hells Angels are all built around Harley. And some of them were riding their motorcycles down from the third floor through the outdoor steps. There was no elevator. It was simply a walk up from outside stairs. And once they all got down, got assembled, the hearse had a ride. There was actually a county police escort there to escort them down the highway to make sure there were no issues, but also standard procedure. Now, normally, in some of the funerals held around the area at that time, and that exists in various areas, the funeral service, funeral home, will employ some motorcyclists to appear to be motorcycle police, but they're really not. They're just guards, and they're just serving as traffic control, blocking intersections, things of that nature. But the Hells Angels Squadron, they came up with the name in a letter written to the Guinness Book of Records by one member. Yeah, some could write. You didn't think you could? And it said the club's name was taken from the Hells Angels Squadron of the 303rd Bombardment Group, active in the European theater of World War II. It is clear the name was inspired from traditions from World Wars I and II, the three P-40 squadrons of Flying Tigers. They were also dubbed Hell's Angels with an apostrophe. In 1930, the Howard Hughes film Hell's Angels showcased some extraordinary feats of aviation they carried out. So the Hell's Angels adopted the name, but they didn't do it with the apostrophe. They just went Hells without an apostrophe. They weren't angels from hell. They were Hell's Angels, is what they're trying to say. Later, the club began to need leadership because they had a lot of disorganization. And obviously, from time to time, they had violence break out, often unnecessarily, sometimes between the very members of one particular club, all the same group. Alcohol often played a role in that, as did drugs. And the Hells Angels began to go from just a motorcycle gang to organized crime into murder, drugs, prostitution. But they were still lacking a leader.
His name is Sonny Barger. When he assumes control of the Oakland Hells Angels, he sees an opportunity to bring order and strength to the club.
Created a structure within this organization, so he borrowed the rank and file structure from the military.
Sonny Barger had genuine leadership capabilities. He was also probably the toughest son of a bitch in the bunch, too.
Under Sonny's leadership, the Oakland Hells Angels go from organized recreation to organized crime. The Altamont Free Concert. December 6th, 1969. The Rolling Stones are set to play a free concert at the Altamont Speedway, about 50 miles east of Oakland.
Rolling Stones was one of them. They had the Grateful Dead, they had Jefferson Airplane, and the manager of the Grateful Dead had this wonderful idea, hey, let's get the Hells Angels to be our security.
At first, the gang tells organizers they aren't interested. But The Stones manager sweetens the deal.
So for $500 in beer, the Hells Angels were there. It's sort of the muscle for the event.
And they were muscle. And there were more than a few skirmishes. And some violence that broke out, leading to a death. Which, I will ask you this, would you be interested in becoming a member of the Hells Angels? Do you know what you have to do? See, there is more to the story, behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
As evening falls and the Rolling Stones hit the stage, Sonny Barger and his Hells Angels are running low on patience.
Somewhere during that time, a young black guy named Meredith Hunter tries to climb up on the stage. Knocked back down by one of the Hell's Angels.
In a fit of rage, Meredith Hunter draws a gun from his jacket and points it towards the stage.
Alan Passaro sees him pull out a gun, reaches into his ankle where he has a knife. Alan Passaro jumps on Hunter's back, stabs him 3 times in the neck, and takes him down to the ground, where Hell's Angels swarm over his body, kick him, stand on him, and Barger's sitting there watching.
Someone in the crowd convinces them to pick up Meredith Hunter's body. He is taken backstage, where medical staff pronounce him dead.
He had no choice, no chance, I should point out. The Hells Angels have various patches. You're familiar with the one that simply reads Hells Angels. You also see patches like Support 81 or Route 81. The 8 and 1 stand for respective positions in the alphabet of the letters H and A. You also see a 1% diamond patch. That 1%er is referred to, in many cases, by the American Motorcyclists Association, commenting on the Hollister incident and others, that 99% of motorcyclists are law-abiding citizens. Only 1% were outlaws. While the American Motorcycle Association is credited with that statement, there's really no proof that it was said by them. How do you become one? If you choose to be, you typically go through a lengthy multi-stage process, what they call a hangaround, a prospect for at least 2 years. You have to prove loyalty, get sponsored, be voted in by members, and of course, obviously, probably have to be involved in some violence to prove that you're willing to do that. You must own and ride a Harley-Davidson. You're not going to find any crotch rockets or any Japanese motorcycles inside the Hells Angels. There is another interesting thing with the Hells Angels as to how they have fought for protecting the club's name and insignia with lawsuits. They filed a trademark infringement lawsuit for the first time in 1989. There was a group that produced the film Nam Angels, which distributed it on various videos. And then in 92, they sued Marvel Comics in a trade book dispute over using the character Hells Angels. the suit got settled when Marvel Comic Books decided we would donate $35,000 to the children's charity Ronald McDonald House. In March of 2007, they filed another lawsuit against Walt Disney Motion Pictures, claiming that its film Wild Hogs used both the name and distinctive logo of the group without permission. In the fall of 2012, the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of California sued Toys R Us for trademark infringement, unfair competition, diluting what we stand for. What did they put their symbol on that the Hells Angels had an issue with? Yo-yos. Yo-yos. Kids' yo-yos. They said, you can't do that. It makes it appear the toys originated with us, and we want to put an end to it. The Hells Angels does sell branded merchandise at various locations. But whenever they catch someone that is selling anything that does not have their backing and sponsorship, they're not quick to go to the streets in a brawl. They're quick to file a lawsuit. And they are usually extremely successful. The Hells Angels did give and still do give many a bad name for Harley motorcycle riders in particular. And yet there are still clubs that consider they're just as big and nasty as the Hells Angels. But in fact, they're not, and they don't have the history. We have another story behind the story coming tomorrow. Our second hour is still to come. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuire Moving, LarryConnors.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and efficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.